What's up, everybody? This is episode 2 of the Jonah Saller Show. I am the host, Jonah Saller. I am an entrepreneur, strength coach, and owner of the company Frontline Strength. And this show is all about strength. So in today's episode, what I really wanted to focus on is, and this is something that's changed for me over time, but I find that you have two sides to the coin. You have people that preach about only doing compound movements and that compound movements are king. And then you have people that are talking about how you're not going to get significant gains without isolation movements. You need to use them. And I am somebody who finds that a hybrid approach is best. You should never rely completely on compounds and you should never rely completely on isolation. So I want to talk about the specific ways and strategies that you can blend these two together and for what specific body parts. So this might be a little bit of a shorter episode, but I'm going to try to make it as informative as possible to help you, again, get stronger. So the first thing I want to do is to talk about the difference between a compound movement and an isolation movement and what that actually means. So a compound movement means that the movement is using multiple joints while moving. So for example, a deadlift would be considered a compound movement because you're going to have ankle flexion, you're going to have knee flexion, and you're going to have your hips extending and flexing as well. So throughout the whole motion, there's going to be those three joints are moving on top of even your shoulder joints are going to be moving to keep the bar close to you. So that's why the deadlift would be considered a compound movement. Now, on the other hand, you could take a movement like a bicep curl, a barbell curl, that would be considered an isolation movement because the only joint moving is the elbow joint, which is using flexion to bring the arms up and then extension to lower them back down. And there's no other joints involved, which means that you're isolating that particular muscle. So here's where people go wrong. A lot of people will say, well, if you're using compound movements, you're going to be able to move a lot more weight than you would with an isolation movement. And that's true, but their justification for just using compounds is that because you're using much heavier weight, you're going to be hitting these muscles way harder, even if they're having help. So for example, a big one is you don't need to do bicep curls when you could just row because your back is going to be primarily moving the row, but your biceps are going to be involved heavily with the rowing too. And what that means is if I can bicep curl 100 pounds, I'll probably be able to row like 300 pounds. And what's going to help the biceps to grow more? Stupid old bicep curls with 100 pounds or a heavy row that's loading them to 300 pounds? Of course, it's going to be the row, and that's why you should exclusively do rows. Now, I believed this for a long time and honestly trained like this for a long time, believing that compound movements were king. And to a certain degree, they are, right? You're not going to be able to move super heavy weights and really get the overloading principle that requires that your body can use just doing isolation movements. You have to do compounds if you want that overloading factor. But what I've found is that despite loading and getting really good at rows and weighted pull-ups and deadlifts and things like that, my biceps, they stayed relatively the same size. They really didn't grow that much. And again, I'm not going to try to make a generalization here because there are people that respond really well to compound movements and they can do rows and their biceps will blow up. But those are often people that are more dominant in those muscle groups in general. Most of us aren't. Most of us arms are a tough point, right, in general, and smaller muscles are going to require a little bit more attention. So what I found is that these compound movements, despite being very strong at them, they weren't doing a lot for my overall growth in my arms. Same with squats and stuff. Sometimes people will say all you need to do are squats and deadlifts, and because there's a little bit of ankle flexion and sometimes extension in there, your calves are going to grow. That's all you need to do. You don't need to train your calves directly. Well, I can tell you for a fact that I've deadlifted and squatted my life away and my calves have barely grown. Like, I'm not sure my calves have ever really grown because I've never really trained them directly, which is changing now that I'm doing a bodybuilding show. Shout out to Dave Hanna, 2021 competition, Brothers in Iron. I'm pumped. starting to train calves, and boy, it's taking a toll on me. But the thing is, compound movements were just not enough for bringing up these smaller muscle groups. So what I ended up having to do was sprinkling in isolation work. And here's where I went wrong, and this is really what I want to talk about in the video, the podcast. I treated isolation movements too much like compound movements. And what I mean by that is, while I was thinking, okay, I'm going to start isolating my muscles now, I focused just on moving weight, which is what I did with compound movements, right? I was not really focused on feeling the muscle working when I was doing deadlifts or squats. I was just focused on moving the weight from point A to point B, which is great for strength development. But when it comes to muscle growth, the thing that I've been finding and learning lately is that the feeling and the mind-muscle connection is actually very, very, very important. So I began to just do barbell curls and barbell tricep extensions over my head. And what I found is that I increased the weight dramatically. I went from, I think, like 50-pound barbell tricep extensions to about 135 pounds for the same reps and sets. And yet my triceps really didn't grow that much. I also found that with my biceps, the barbell curl, I moved much more weight. I went from, I think, starting with just the bar for sets of like 8 to 12 reps to moving up to over 110 to 15 pounds, I want to say 115 pounds for the same rep range, and my biceps didn't grow at all. I got stronger, but I didn't grow anything, and I was really confused. I was like, okay, the compound movements aren't doing it for me, and the isolation movements aren't doing it for me. I guess I'm just cursed to always have small arms. And this is when I began to look more deeply into bodybuilding and the techniques they used to build and bring up their muscles, specifically in the old school days. And I mean, the title of the documentary, Pumping Iron, kind of gives it away. It's about the pump. And what the pump is it's filling that muscle up with blood. And the way that that happens is really through a really strong mind-muscle connection. And I've found that the stronger your mind-muscle connection is, the larger that muscle is going to get and the more it's going to fire. Because really, I mean, sometimes when people think of mind-muscle connection, they think it's like some sort of mystic, you know, magic, like how, oh, your mind's connected to your muscle? That's kind of weird. But the reality of it is that when your mind is connected to your muscle, all that means is it means that you're feeling that muscle working, which is just a sign that you've been able to recruit and activate more muscle fibers. And the more muscle fibers you have activated and firing is going to lead to greater stimulus in that muscle, which is going to lead to overall greater growth. And I really found this to be true with my chest. My chest is by far my worst body part. I mean, I'm telling you, my chest looks terrible. And I've been working hard for years and years to bring it up, and I'm just now starting to see improvements. And the reason for that is because I've actually taken time to try to master the mind-muscle connection with my pecs. And I noticed, like all pressing movements that I would do, my chest would feel zero. Like I wouldn't feel anything in my chest, but I would feel my front deltoids and my triceps. They would get lit up and they would pump up. And to this day, my front delts are just super dominant. It's actually part of why my chest looks so small, is because my delts have just taken over, because they just naturally were there, ready to fire. And the reason that I struggled to grow my chest is I was moving weight, like I said, from point A to point B, but I never actually spent any time focused on actually feeling the muscle working. And this is a huge problem with a lot of people in today's lifting culture, is we're so obsessed with strength, which is an awesome thing, but if your goal is to maximize your physique, you can't just get stronger. That's not going to be enough. You have to get stronger while making sure that the muscles that you're trying to target are actually working and doing their job. Moving a weight from point A to point B is not going to do it. So what I've been learning recently, and what I've been doing specifically, like I said, for my chest, is just learning different activation drills for my chest. and really trying to squeeze and feel the muscle work. So one of the things I've been doing is just holding my arm as far across my body as I possibly can, and I'll squeeze my chest on that one side in that peak contracted position, you know, where you got your arm basically all the way across your body. And I just sit there and I will squeeze and flex that muscle as hard as I possibly can for a good 30 to 60 seconds. And then I'll take that arm and I'll stretch it all the way back and typically use something to kind of anchor me. And I'll try to get a really strong stretch in it. And then I'll go back to the contracted position. And I'll do this over and over again before I do any sets of anything. And then before I even start loading weight, I will take either very light dumbbells or I'll take a barbell and I will move slow through the range of motion that I'm going to be performing, squeezing the absolute hell out of my muscle, trying to get the feeling down. And this is so, so important. And I've seen massive progress in terms of my ability to feel my muscle working. So the point of this podcast is really to tell you that all too often people focus on compounds and they preach compounds. And so a lot of people fall in the trap of just sticking to the compounds to try to grow everything. And when they find that the compounds aren't doing enough, they move to isolation work, but their isolation work mimics that of compound work in terms of moving the weight from point A to point B. And that's not enough. You have to get the mind-muscle connection. You have to really get inside the muscle. You have to learn what it feels like to contract that muscle. And you also need to learn how to stretch that muscle and feel that stretch. You know, I find that finding different exercises that work in different ranges of the motion of the muscle are really helpful. For example, when I train biceps now, a lot of times, especially on my volume days when I'm really looking for more of that mind-muscle connection, I will do an incline dumbbell curl and I will lay on an incline bench and I will let those dumbbells just hang down at my side and put my bicep in that peak stretched position where it can't stretch anymore. And I will sit there sometimes and just hold that and feel that stretch before I even start curling. So then my biceps are getting used to that feeling of the muscle being stretched. And I really try to close my eyes and feel that muscle stretching. And then I'll switch over to a movement like a concentration curl, or even just a straight up dumbbell curl. But I really like the concentration curls because you can really, really focus on the peak of your bicep, which is really, really nice. And you get a lot of feeling in that movement. So then I'll focus on that movement, which is much more, it's not really focused on the stretch at all. It's focused on that peak contraction at the top. So what I'll do is I'll take the dumbbell and I'll hold it further in on one side. So when I get it to the top, the dumbbell weight on the other side is pulling down to further supinate my wrist and get that contraction. And I won't just curl up and down, I will curl to the top and I will squeeze the life out of my bicep until it is just absolutely trashed before I'll even lower it again. So I pretty much, what my goal is with most things on volume days is I'm not really worried about sets and I'm not really worried about reps. I'm just strictly worried about the overall feeling that I'm getting in the muscles. And I focus on trying to get as much tension on the very first rep as possible. And then I start doing more reps until I absolutely can't. And then I set the weight down and that set's done. I don't really focus on the number. Because again, the more you focus on sets and numbers when you're trying to focus on feeling, the more it is going to become about moving the weight from point A to point B. Okay, I got to do this 8 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, I'm done. And have you actually really accomplished anything? I don't think so. So forget reps, forget sets. And sometimes it's best just to focus on feeling the muscle. One thing that I've been doing recently too that's been helpful is focusing on not just feeling the muscle, but not starting my set until I really feel that muscle engaging. So you know how sometimes you'll start an exercise in the first like maybe 4 or 5 reps, you're not that fatigued, you don't really feel anything. And then you start feeling that burn coming on and that terrible lactic acid buildup and ooh, you just feel like you're gonna puke and it's terrible. Well, right when that starts happening, that's when you should start counting your reps. Don't start counting when it doesn't feel like anything. Start counting when it starts feeling like it's murder, right? That's when you're going to start actually getting that muscle to recruit the fibers, and you're going to actually cause a lot of muscle damage by pushing through that, which is going to be amazing for growth. So again, I don't want this episode to be me just crapping on compound movements because I love them to death. But what I am saying is that my obsession with just focusing on the compounds and moving from point A to point B really has held me back from getting bigger. Because muscle growth really is more about the volume and the tension that the muscle feels rather than just moving heavy weight. Of course, they go hand in hand because the heavy weight, the stronger you are, the more weight you're going to be able to handle for moving for the purpose of tension. But if you're just doing one or the other, you're gonna have an imbalance there. So my recommendation and the way that I structure my programs are I only really train twice a week. I train on Monday and I train on Friday. And this is honestly what I recommend for most people. If you can do a full body workout and you can take the amount that of time it takes, it roughly takes me about an hour and a half to 2 hours to finish. I really think this is the best way to go for natural lifters. You could obviously split it up and do a 4 day week routine, a Monday, Tuesday, rest Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday. But twice a week is awesome because it allows a lot of extra recovery and it allows you to really never have to take a deload, which is awesome. So basically what I do is I on Monday, I do an intensity day. And on intensity day, all I'm focused about is moving weight from point A to point B. I'm just focused on strength. I'm not worried about feeling the muscle. I'm not worried about, you know, higher reps. I'm just worried about strength and moving weight. So that's my Monday. And then on Friday, it's my volume day where I throw reps and sets out the window. And I just focus on tension in the muscle. And when that muscle feels annihilated and I've pumped a lot of blood into it, that's when I finish. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. And the intensity day, I just progressively build on the movements I have. And I rotate movements out every 3 weeks. That way my body is not, my joints aren't getting beat up by the same movement for too long period of time. But I will switch movements to make them similar. So if I'm using like an overhead press, let's say, and I build that up for 3 weeks, maybe I'll switch from a barbell overhead press to a dumbbell overhead press for the next 3 weeks. And then maybe I'll do a seated dumbbell press with bands attached or something for another 3 weeks. So the movement relatively stays the same, but the variations switch up. That way my body is not getting worn out too fast. And recently what I've done is I've snuck in a third day there in the middle, and that's just for weak points. So I basically, I've got my intensity day, I've got my volume day, and then smack in the middle on Wednesday, I train the weak areas. So I've analyzed my physique, especially now that I'm training for a bodybuilding show. And I look and say, okay, what are the weak areas that I have and how can I target these to bring them up? So I've identified my chest, obviously, is a big one. My hamstrings need a little bit of work for sure. My quads need a little bit of work, and then my arms are always something that need work. And so I target those muscles on that day with a little bit extra volume, and that's kind of a hybrid day where I do have sets and reps, but I'm focused on the feel and the squeeze in the muscle while working in those sets and rep ranges. So this is the podcast. That's all I got to say today. Don't marry yourself to one thing. That's my biggest advice. There's so many people that say this one way is the only way. Like there's lots of people that say CrossFit, that's the way to do it, or the West Side conjugate method, that's the way to do it. 5-3-1. Whatever the method is, sure, those are great, especially if you're training for that specific purpose, but never marry yourself to one thing. Just like me, right? I can share with you and say, hey, this is what I think is best, but what you need to do is get out there and discover what's best for you. You can't just listen to somebody else and do exactly what they did and expect it to work for yourself. You need to experiment. You need to learn to understand your body and what it responds best to. And when you find that, when you find that sweet spot, that's where the gains happen. But even though you shouldn't marry yourself to one thing, you also shouldn't stray too far from the principles that surround training, right? If you're getting stronger, you're going to be making progress. And if you're trying to feel those muscles working and target the muscles, you can't go wrong. So volume, intensity, they go hand in hand. But beyond that, you really need to focus hard on feeling the muscle, getting your mind inside of the muscle, because that's ultimately, in my opinion, the secret to unlocking new gains. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and I will talk to you all in the next episode.